And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast on American Family Radio. Great to be with you again today. Folks, I've got some exciting news. This time next week, when you listen to the program, I will record the program before I leave. But this time next week, when you hear this program, I will be in Israel. Well, I might be in Poland. I'm going to Poland to visit Auschwitz first, and then I'm going to Israel. I'll be talking more about that on the program next week. So just ask you all to pray for me, pray for the safety and safe travel and return of those who are going to be a part of this party that is heading for Israel. Things, as you all know, are a little bit volatile there right now, but I'm just believing God. I'm a supporter of Israel and the Jewish people. And, you know, you have to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. So I am going, but I'm believing God for his protection against the madness that Hamas and these other Islamic terrorists are trying to perpetrate against Israel and the Jewish people. So I'm going to stand with Israel. That's where I'll be next week, so be praying for me. Second thing I want to mention is that on May the 16th, we are holding another Stand Awards dinner. I know that time goes by very quickly, doesn't it? Because it seems like it wasn't a year. Well, it wasn't quite a year, but we're 2 months away now from the dinner. But May 16th, we will be hosting another Stand Awards dinner. And I hope that all of you, first of all, will pray for me. And of course, I mean that very sincerely, that you will pray for me and pray for the dinner, pray for its success. Pray for our awardees. We're giving the George Washington Award for taking a stand to Tina Deskovich, founder of Moms for Liberty, Kevin Freeman, who is the host of Economic War Room and the founder of Liberty Ranch, Walter Hoy of Issues for Life, one of the great black pro-life conservatives of our nation, who has been trying to educate the black community on the fact that so-called abortion is a genocide. It was in Margaret Sanger's intention. So, great man of God. Stacey Washington used to be one of our hosts here on American Family Radio. She's now with another network, but she will be with us as well as an honoree. And Robert L. Woodson. If you haven't heard of Robert L. Woodson, the Woodson Institute, check it out. Again, he is one of those pioneer conservatives who really led the way for many, many people. Long before they started calling me all kinds of names because I happened to be a black conservative, they were calling him those kinds of names. And he and others really kind of pioneered the way for me, the same way I'm pioneering the way for younger black conservatives coming along behind me, as they say, plowing the field, so to speak, for them. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time, and I hope that you will come. Go to the website standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and click on, it's on the homepage, just click on to learn more. And I am pleased to let you know that American Family Radio, American Family Association, is one of the sponsors of our dinner, and they have been the sponsor of the dinner. I mean, I think this is the fourth one we've held. And they've been kind enough to sponsor everyone, every single one of them. And I'm so very grateful to American Family Radio, American Family Association, the Wildman family, for being willing to support the work that we are doing. So God bless each and every one of you. I hope you can come. It's going to be in Leesburg, Virginia at Cornerstone Chapel. You got a couple months. You can make plans to be there. You might need, of course, an overnight hotel room. But go to the website. You'll get information on that. And if you can't do anything else, you want to make a donation, please go right ahead. Even if you don't buy a ticket or you don't sponsor, but you just want to support the effort, feel free to do that. And again, there'll be more information about that on our website. Okay. I want to talk to you all today about something that is extremely important. And I don't suppose I should be surprised that this issue is coming up. But I guess I am concerned about it. Let's put it this way. I am concerned about it. Donald Trump is taking legal and constitutional action to put the federal government back on its appropriate footing, doing what it's supposed to do, right? The federal government is supposed to be protecting our borders from incursion, invasion, violation. That's part of its job. In fact, I'd say that's one of its essential jobs, because that goes to the responsibility that the federal government has, and the chief executive officer of our federal government, the president of the United States, and the commander in chief has to keep all of us safe and secure within our borders and abroad, for that matter. It's appropriate. It's constitutional. It's part of his Article II powers. The president of the United States is supposed to defend the civil rights of the American people. And when you have men essentially violating women by invading their private spaces, and frankly, forgive me not to put too fine a point on it, but exposing themselves to young girls, and that's exactly what's happened, folks. Let's not pretend otherwise. Exposing themselves to young girls and then condemning the girls who say this is inappropriate. We're not comfortable with this. We don't like this. Attacking them as if they are the problem. They're the enemy. The president of the United States is supposed to defend the civil rights of the American people. And that's exactly what he's doing by issuing the executive orders and changing the policies of the federal government in order to recognize and in order to defend the civil rights and the civil liberties of young girls who have been given by Title IX the ability to enjoy athletic opportunities and scholarships and sports the same way men do without having to compete with men who are physiologically larger and biologically more athletic. Now, folks, those are just facts. And when I say biologically more athletic, what I mean by that is the respiratory system of men, the musculature of men, is genetically different than women. That doesn't mean women can't be outstanding athletes, and that doesn't mean that they can't do wonderfully extraordinary things. I mean, you ever seen one of these young ladies who are gymnasts? I mean, it is absolutely astounding. But they're not designed to compete with men. And so the president of the United States is protecting their Title IX rights, is protecting their civil rights, their civil liberties. That's what he's supposed to do. The president of the United States is supposed to be since he is the chief executive officer, in the same way a person would be the chief executive officer of a business. I'm the chief executive officer of my organization. I am responsible for the budget of my organization. I'm responsible for not wasting money in my organization, not spending money inappropriately in my organization, and for seeing to it that the organization has the resources that it needs to do the job it is charged to do. That's my job as CEO. Well, the president's really no different. Got a whole lot bigger organization that he's running, but it's no different. He is within his constitutional authority to identify waste, to identify fraud, to identify overemployment. In other words, excessive staffing. Too many people doing a job that can be done with far fewer. I mean, Elon Musk went into Twitter, now called X, folks, and chopped the staff by 80%. And the business, the organization, is still running just fine. Now, you would have thought, right? Business people running it before he took over. You cut 80% of his staff, and it's over. How can you even run? But he's running it. Well, you know, he cut out a lot of waste, a lot of overemployment that was not needed to run the business. I guess they were running it like liberals run the government, which is just basically use it as a crony opportunity to reward your friends and pursue your leftist agenda who cares what happens to stockholders, and who cares what happens to the money, and who cares what happens ultimately to the business down the road, as long as you get your agenda fulfilled, and as long as you have power, and as long as you're controlling things. I mean, that's what matters. The long-term health of the organization does not matter until you reach a crisis level where you're concerned about losing it, and then maybe, just maybe then, you try to do something. But guess what? Even then, you know, you blame other people. You don't take responsibility for what you've done. You blame other people. And then you demand that somebody else bail you out. I mean, that's the leftist way. The president of the United States is doing exactly what he should be doing. He's cutting costs. He's cutting back on the staffing that is far beyond what is needed to do the job. The president of the United States is trying to start America moving on a path toward cutting our debt, cutting our deficit, and ultimately to debt freedom. I really believe that's the path that he wants to go on. He's never going to see that happen probably in his administration, maybe not even in his lifetime. But that's the direction we ought to be moving in. Folks, I said all that to simply say that's exactly what the president of the United States should be doing. Now, we have separation of powers designed into our Constitution so that each branch is separate but co-equal. And those branches do not have the right, except with certain limited constitutional exceptions, do not have the right to encroach on one another's authority. Where the authority of one branch crosses over into the authority of the other, then one branch has the ability to check the other branch's power and to say, no, whoa, you can't do that. You're encroaching on our power as legislature. You're encroaching on my power as executive. You're encroaching on our power as the judiciary. But really, aside from that, the judiciary doesn't have the right to try to become the executive. The legislature doesn't have the right to become the executive, and the president doesn't have the right to become the legislature. The judiciary doesn't have the right to become the legislature. That's what you call checks and balances. I didn't really anticipate the level of consternation that I'm feeling about the way the judiciary is literally trying to usurp the authority of the President of the United States. Now, these leftists, these demoncrats, have run around with their head on fire, hit their hair on fire, talking about the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, President Donald J. Trump, is precipitating a constitutional crisis. In fact, that was one of the phrases that they were using when the cult got together and said, what phrase are we going to use this week? Constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis. The new phrase, by the way, is in the moment, in the moment, in this moment, in this moment, in the moment, given this moment. Apparently they get their marching orders, maybe from George Soros. Here's the phrase of the week, folks. So right now it's in the moment, in this moment. But a couple weeks ago it was constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis. It is these pinhead district court judges that are precipitating a constitutional crisis in trying to force the President of the United States to abdicate his executive authority and turn it over to a judge whose jurisdiction does not extend beyond a given geographical area that he presides over or where he sits on the bench. How in the world, folks, do you have a judge in San Francisco or a judge in Seattle or a judge in California? They, of course, that's where they're going. They're going to the far west, hoping to get the most communist judge they can find. I mean, they're just the most corrupt and ideologically crazy judge they can find, and get him to rule on some matter that the ACLU and George Soros and this whole coalition of the godless has concocted, and to get this judge to rule on that. And then when the president says, you don't have the jurisdiction to tell me how to run foreign policy. You don't have the jurisdiction to tell me how to deal with military matters, how to deal with national security matters. You don't have the jurisdiction to do that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. See, we told you the president of the United States is acting like a dictator. He's precipitating a constitutional crisis. No, he's not. Folks, as you all know, I am an attorney. I actually taught law. I never taught constitutional law, but I've certainly studied constitutional law. The president of the United States is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. And what he's supposed to do is to defend the constitutional prerogatives of the presidency against encroachment by the other branches of government. That is part of his job, to maintain the integrity of our constitutional republic. Now, folks, I hope I've made that clear. Not only is he not doing anything wrong, he would be doing something wrong if he simply threw his hands up and said, oh, well, if the judge said this, a district court judge out in San Francisco says, I have to turn the plane around in international waters and fly it back to the United States and bring all these rapists and murderers and child molesters and thieves and robbers, bring all them back to the country. I guess I just have to do it. I can't put it any more plainly than that. He would be, the president of the United States would be violating his oath of office if he did that. He has got to say no. Now, when he says no, obviously, he appeals to a higher court, and ultimately it's going to land in the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, he's got to defend the prerogatives of the president of the United States. Because it's not just about him. It's about precedent for future presidents. The president must be able to exercise the authority of the executive branch in the same way that the Congress must be able to exercise the authority of the legislative branch, and same way the judiciary must be able to exercise the authority of the judicial branch. But they don't get to stomp on each other in doing so. And these judges, particularly in a particular district, think that they can issue edicts that change the whole policy of the government and really, in effect, take over the presidency and run it their way. Folks, this is judicial madness. And by the way, let me say this. There are a couple of things that really have to be said about this. Here's the first thing, and I have said this repeatedly. In fact, I was going back and reviewing some of the things that were said about me when I ran for office, particularly on the issue of judges and homosexuality and far-left ideology and all of that. What I said was, you shouldn't be appointed a judge if you already have an overweening, overarching, overwhelming ideological agenda, because that is what will drive you, not the law and not the Constitution of the United States. because you will always be looking for a way to further that bias that is so deeply ingrained in you, to which you are so committed. Look, when we had, for example, the constitutional amendment in Virginia that defined marriage as a union between one man and one woman, which is 30 states did that. When the judge who overturned that constitutional amendment, claiming it was a violation of whatever, I mean, I don't know what it was a violation of, so since two men cannot get married, period, and two women cannot get married, period. That overturns 6,000 years of written human history, of recorded human history. It overturns every legal precedent in the history of mankind. But more importantly, it overturns God's law. God established marriage as a union between one man and one woman. That's it, folks. Full stop. But no. No. Judges know better, see. They know better than human history. They know better than human experience. They know better than God. That's part of the problem. They think they are God. When they are imbued with this ideological predisposition, now somebody might say, well, aren't you, but then couldn't you say the same thing about conservatives? No. Because if a true conservative, particularly a biblical worldview conservative, honors this country as a constitutional republic, and therefore would not, for example, I am a born-again believer. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I love the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't make any bones about that. I'm not compromising that. I'm not apologizing for that, period. But if I were ever appointed a judge, and by the way, I never wanted to be a judge because judges are too, they're too hemmed in. They're too restrained. They can't get involved in the public debate because they have to remain neutral in these things, or certainly maintain the appearance of propriety. And I want to be able to say whatever I want to say about any issues that come up. So I was never interested in any kind of judicial appointment. But let's say I was appointed a judge. I wouldn't go into the judiciary with a view I'm going to advance Christianity as a judge. I want to advance Christianity as a human being, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But as a judge, I would go into the judiciary wanting to advance the law and the Constitution of the United States, period. I would want to be true to what the Constitution says, and I would want to be true to what the law says, even if I don't like the law. I would leave it to others to say, well, you know what, this really is a bad law. Now, if I found a law that I thought really violated the Constitution of the United States, that would be a different matter. Then I might be in a position of authority to overrule such a law. But it would be because it violated a higher law, which is the Constitution of the United States. But I'm not going into the judiciary as a Christian and say, well, I don't care what the Constitution says. I'm here to further the cause of Christianity. No, I wouldn't do that. But you see, that's not the way they think. So this judge in Virginia, when she overturned the constitutional amendment defining marriage as a union between one man and one woman, said in comment, this is why I became a judge. This is the moment I've been waiting for. But see, that is not a neutral arbiter. That is a person with an agenda. And so these judges, or this judge, for example, the one who basically tried to order Trump to turn the planes around and bring all these thieves and murderers and rapists and child molesters back into the continental United States. He's an Obama appointee. That kind of tells you all you need to know. Or is he the far leftist, just like Obama? And just like Obama, in my view, Obama didn't have an agenda that was good for America. Obama had an agenda that was good for his leftist ideology. And these judges are the same way. So that's number one. So I want to underscore that because, boy, they've jumped on me about that. Oh, he doesn't think. they call it, he's anti-gay. He doesn't think gay people. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's what a person wants to be known by, and that's how a person wants to be identified, and if that's what's in the forefront of a person's mind, that's exactly right. No, I do not want that person to be a judge. And if I were president or governor, I would never appoint such a person to be a judge. Because I'd say that person is incapable of impartiality, because he or she, if those pronouns are appropriate, has already announced that they have another agenda aside from the law and the Constitution of the United States, and that is to further their own perception of human sexuality. I would say to further sexual deviancy. That's their real agenda. They don't need to be sitting on the bench and using the bench to do that. Well, these judges have a Marxist, socialist, anti-individual liberty perspective, and that's the perspective that they want to advance. I don't know anything about this judge's sexuality, but I'll tell you, I am learning. I think the first thing the Democrat Party, Democrat Party, as I've started to call it, the first thing they look for is your sexuality. I mean, obviously, race is important. But if you're a black woman who is a lesbian, whoa, that is the trifecta. you have hit the political lottery. You are inherently superior because of your race, your gender, and your sexual perversion. I mean, folks, let's just tell it like it is. It's insane, I know, but that's the way they think. You want a person like that sitting on the bench? No, indeed. No, indeed. Because their decisions are going to be colored. Judges, sadly, that are much more interested in opposing Donald Trump because they oppose his agenda than they are in adjudicating the law and the Constitution appropriately. So that I know that's a big, broad point, but one that needed to be made. Now, let's get to this issue of the jurisdictional authority of these judges. Look, no judge has a right to tell the President of the United States how to conduct foreign policy or military policy or national security policy. They don't have a right to do that, folks, because it's not within their, it is not within the authority that the Constitution delegates to them. So look, let's just take, for example, the president has using the Alien Enemies Act in order to summarily deport these people who are criminals, gang of associates, all tatted up and, you know, teardrops on their faces and daggers and demons and whatever else. They're identifying these people and they're getting them out of here. And that gives him the right to do so without giving these people a hearing. Now, that is a law that apparently has not been used very often, and it's one of our older laws. But, folks, the law doesn't become invalid because it's old. It is only invalid when it's unconstitutional. I don't care how old it is. That doesn't matter. But, you know, the left trots this out. It's a very old law. Okay, so, but you see, they do that because they don't have any respect for the law, period. That's why they say that, because for them, this goes back to critical legal studies. Remember I talked to you about this guy, Duncan Kennedy at Harvard Law School, who was teaching that the law is not right, good, fair, and we owe it absolutely no deference whatsoever, because all it reflects is the elites in power, and it has no claim on righteousness or decency or fairness or justice. And see, that's the way they view it, because they have a Marxist worldview. So to them, the law is just something to be manipulated until you get the results you want. the President of the United States has the right to conduct national security policy and to conduct military policy. Can you imagine a judge saying, when the president faces a military conflict, challenge, crisis, a judge saying, "Oh, wait, no, Mr. President, I'll tell you what bombs you can use, and I'll tell you what guns you can use, and I'll tell you how many personnel you can use, and by the way, you can't redeploy this section here, you can't redeploy these special ops groups over there. Now no. Can you imagine that? That's exactly what they're trying to do. That is exactly what they're trying to do. And I don't know how ultimately the Supreme Court will come down, because I'll tell you something, folks. There's only two justices I have real confidence in, Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel Alito. That's it. The others, maybe, maybe not. It depends on the case. Chief Justice Roberts, I don't think you can trust as far as you could throw him. And by the way, he's already come out saying, you know, you can't impeach this judge. Well, look, he said, because, you know, you can only impeach a judge for high crimes and misdemeanors, and you can't impeach him because he rules against you. Yeah, but when he encroaches on the Constitution of the United States and the authority of the president and makes some outrageous decision, let's say some judge did try to tell the president, no, you're not going to conduct the war that way. You're going to conduct the war this way. You're going to conduct military incursion this way, not that way. To me, that's impeachable, because that judge has completely lost his mind. I would call that a high crime, because I think high crimes doesn't refer to robbing, stealing, killing. I think high crimes refers to something that actually presents a real threat, a real danger to the safety and security of the American people and the integrity of the rule of law. And I think a judge would be impeachable for something like that. I mean, suppose a judge gave somebody jurisdiction who decided, an enemy combatant decided they were going to sue and say, you know, you can't fire at them because, and blah, 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 made some stupid legal argument. And the judge agreed with it and said, I'm issuing an injunction against the President of the United States. You can't deal with this enemy combatant. That's crazy. But we're on the verge of that. I mean, it's not quite that situation, but if he can do this, if he can say, you can't lay people off. Yeah, really? Well, why don't you come here and you run the government then? Those are only one problem. We didn't elect you. You can't deport Trendyawagwa, MS-13, and other bad actors that pose a threat to the safety and security of the American people. You can't deport them. You got to bring them in. You got to bring them back to our country. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe you need to go down to the border and work as a border patrol agent then, instead of sitting behind a bench. I mean, folks, this is so out of order. But here's why this concerns me. Because, see, right now, the Democrat Party is in such disarray that they're looking for something to hang their hats on. They're looking for something, because right now, more and more Americans are seeing them as insane. Maybe even seeing them as behaving like a cult. You see the way they're treating Chuck Schumer right now? I mean, folks, they turned on him on a dime. Now, Chuck Schumer has been a loyal, faithful member of this cult. But the moment he stepped away from the cult and did something that the cult didn't want him to do, they turned on him with a viciousness that you only see in a godless cult. They're in complete meltdown right now. And they're looking for a way back. They're looking for something that will communicate to the American people, look, we're sane, we're reasonable. I mean, these people don't care anything about the Constitution of the United States, but all of a sudden, we're facing a constitutional crisis. You know, I mean, the same people who told us that the Constitution is an antiquated document because it was written by a bunch of racists and slaveholders, and we really shouldn't pay any attention to them, and we need to tear down the statue of George Washington, who presided over the Constitutional Convention, tear down the statues of the founding fathers, many of whom were at the Constitutional Convention and passed the Constitution, because they were racist, they were slaveholders, and the Constitution is an act. America is systemically racist because the Constitution itself is a racist document. Now, we've been told that all along. Now, all of a sudden, we're facing a constitutional crisis. I've even heard Democrats for the first time, I think, in my adult life say, I took an oath to the Constitution. Really? Really? You could have fooled me. You could have fooled me. But see, this is what they're up to. So now, what must the President of the United States do? I think he has to do and double down on what he's doing right now. The President of the United States has got to roll out legal scholars who can say, look, this judge doesn't have the authority, doesn't have the jurisdiction. Look, the point of, and I did some litigation, criminal and civil, the point, the role of a judge is to decide cases and controversies. That's why you and I can't go to a judge now and say, judge, we don't like the tax policy of the country and we want to change it. Would you issue an order changing that? Well, some of these crazy judges might say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea. But no. What the judge can do is you come to a judge and you say, Your Honor, I'm bringing a lawsuit against the IRS because the IRS, in doing XYZ, violated the statutory limitations or violated my constitutional rights. That's a case and a controversy. And if the judge believes that you have standing and he or she has jurisdiction, the judge can take that case. But now get this, to decide it for you. And what's happening is judges have this, what they're doing is taking it upon themselves. I'm not only going to decide this case for you. I'm going to decide this case for the whole country. And the IRS may or may not do this, that, or the other. So now the judge has taken over and become a policymaker. That's what we call judicial activism. Instead of deciding the case that is before the judge based upon your circumstances, which may well be unique, the judge takes that opportunity to issue injunctions and strike down policies and say it's going to operate this way from now on, not that way. They don't have that authority, folks, under the Constitution. Now, I know they've been exercising that authority, and sadly, precedent sometimes becomes legal reality. Doesn't make it right. Donald Trump has got to bring those experts out who will say, No. You don't get to do this, Mr. District Court Judge. That's not within your authority. And by the way, remember this. The Constitution doesn't give judges any enforcement authority. You know that? They don't have. Judges don't have police at their beck and call, marshals at their beck and call, military at their beck and call. All the judge has is his verbal, or in the appropriate case, of course, more appropriately, his written order. That's it. That's all he's got. And then he has to ask that somebody serve this order or somebody do something to enforce this order. I mean, he doesn't have any authority to do any enforcement. So when he says to the President of the United States, turn that airplane around, and the President of the United States says, you know what? You can go take a flying leap into the nearest lake. What's the judge going to do?
The President of the United States is precipitating a constitutional crisis.
Yeah, okay. And what next? There's ultimately absolutely nothing he can do. What's he going to do? Send the Justice Department after him? He'll send the FBI after him? The only thing the judge can do is wait for the appeal that will inevitably come and allow a higher court to decide it. Oh, he might be able to try to hold the president in contempt. But again, who's going to arrest him?
What cop is going to? Oh, yeah, I'll head down to the White House and get him. I'll lock him up for you overnight, Judge.
Hold it. I mean, as a practical matter, the judge has no power to do anything or to make the President of the United States do anything. And that's not a constitutional crisis. That's constitutional order. Because the president is a separate and co-equal branch of government. And the judge does not have the right to impose punishment on the President of the United States for carrying out his constitutional duties. Talking about the president not knowing what his duties are and not carrying out his duties, it's these judges that don't know what their duties are and aren't carrying them out. Because again, they're too busy trying to affect their agenda. I thank God we've got a president who understands the authority that the Constitution gives him. I'm not the least bit worried about the President of the United States, this President of the United States, abusing his authority. I think he is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's guarding it. Because his job is to protect you and me. And when he's doing what he's supposed to do to protect you and me, and he's doing it based upon the law and the authority that he has given in Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States to see to it that the laws are faithfully executed, all the judges in America can't stop him. Now, as a matter of precedent, the Supreme Court of the United States, as a matter of precedent, I don't think this is a matter of constitutional authority, but as a matter of precedent, based upon John Marshall and Marbury versus Madison, has been ceded to the Supreme Court to determine the limits of presidential authority based upon the Constitution. But you know what I really believe? I really believe that the real authority to do that lies with the American people. And we render our judgment at the ballot box. That's where the real authority for that lies. That's one of the reasons why, folks, I haven't spent much time talking to you about it, but I will. I've got four constitutional amendments that we are proposing because I really believe that we've got to go above and beyond and over the heads of the Supreme Court because, frankly, like I said, there's only two justices I trust, and the rest of them, I wouldn't trust them as far as you could throw them in a barrel. I mean, you know, put all of them in there because it'd take a pretty big barrel to fit the other seven. But you get my point. I'm not using that illustration to in any way suggest violence. I'm using that illustration to suggest my absolute distrust for these remaining justices. Now, obviously, I prefer, don't get me wrong, I certainly prefer Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh. I was going to say, can I really say Chief Justice John Roberts? I guess I trust him more than the liberals. I guess, maybe a little bit more. But I trust Justice Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito with the Constitution of the United States to call balls and strikes. And to decide based upon the text of the Constitution and the original intent of the framers. I trust them to do that. I don't trust the others. Not when Gorsuch says, well, Title IX, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, Title VII, which refers to sex, means sexual orientation and gender identity. What? And you're supposed to be a textualist and an originalist?
and he wrote Bostock. I mean, so I prefer to have them over the three leftists, the three Marxists, you know, who don't know their heads from a hole in the wall. One of them doesn't even know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. Oh, my goodness gracious. And you want me to entrust you with the Constitution of the United States? Lord, help us. No, thank you. So we just need to be prayerful about this and believe the President of the United States will continue to use the great talent and gifts that God has given him and assemble around him a group of legal scholars who can wade through this mess and that the American people will be smart enough to understand. But see, we're so far from our constitutional system now anyway, which is why the Democrats are always referring to our democracy, because they really don't want a constitutional republic, because they don't want any limits on government. What they want is to be able to have, when the majority decides a day and the majority decide a vote on something, that they can do whatever they want to do. That's what they really want, and that's what they really mean by democracy. It's a code word for tyranny for them. But a constitutional republic means government has limits on its power in order to preserve the chief aim of the Constitution, individual liberty. That is its chief aim, individual liberty. Now, there's a lot that goes into the construction of a government to preserve that, obviously, but that is its chief aim. But not for these leftists. For these leftists, the chief aim of the Constitution and government and of they themselves is to do whatever they feel like. That's their chief aim, to further their agenda, their ideology, their sick worldview. That's their chief aim. If I can make that work with the Constitution, great. If I can't, throw the Constitution out. Who cares? If I can make that work within the law, okay, fine. If I can't, throw the law out. Who cares? Every one of these people that they brought in here using all kinds of shenanigans to get them into our borders, the millions that Joe Biden has brought in, they've all been brought in here illegally. They've all violated both the letter and the spirit of the law, no matter what kind of shenanigans he's pulled to get it done, because they don't care about the law. They care about their agenda. And they'll use all kinds of excuses. Oh, well, we need comprehensive immigration reform. No, what we need to do is obey the law. Folks, the same thing. They're always complaining about the firearms, the law-abiding citizens. But when these thugs and these criminals and these murderers end up getting arrested, they never throw the book at them over having guns. Guns are the problem. Guns are the problem. Some criminals got a gun. Oh, well, you know. I mean, it's practically disregarded. But you got to stop the law-abiding citizen from being able to own a firearm that has more than 5 rounds in a magazine at a time. It does. Yeah. And of course, what's the Second Amendment say? Do you think they care about that? No, they don't. Oh, well, that shouldn't apply, and that they didn't really mean it. And I mean, every excuse in the book, because that's what matters to them. Their agenda, not you. They care about is their agenda, and anything that furthers it, great. Anything that gets in the way, no matter what it is, there's nothing sacred other than what they in their own perverse lusts want. That is all that is sacred. That's it. So, folks, We are on the way to reaffirming our constitutional republic. That's what President Trump is doing. And I just pray that he will get the support that he needs from the Supreme Court of the United States, and that ultimately, of course, he will get the support that he needs from the people of the United States. The best way we can do that leading up to in 2026 is to make sure that we give him more votes in the House and more votes in the Senate to support his agenda for the American people, for our well-being, which again is what the government was established to further. Our country was not set up as a constitutional republic so that we could serve the government, but so that the government could serve us. And the President of the United States is trying to restore that balance, and I trust that he will. That's going to do it. I've got to go. But look, it's been great. Can't wait to be back with you again next week to talk to you more about my trip to Auschwitz and my trip to Israel. Really exciting times. Pray for me. In the meantime, don't forget the Stand Up Wars dinner, May the 16th. Friday, May the 16th at Cornerstone Chapel, Leesburg, Virginia. Go to standamerica.us to check it out. If you're in my area and you're listening to this podcast, I will be at my church, 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake, Virginia, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise or apology. Stop by. Services start at 11 a.m. Eastern Time every Sunday morning. In the meantime, folks, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.